Good morning, God's people. Our sermon today comes under the title, God Turns the Page. And I open with these words from a thousand-year-old prayer born from today's gospel. The angel of the Lord announced unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Ghost. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen. Of course, that is the beginning of the Angelus, a prayer that I learned during my time at General Seminary, where I was a sacristan for 2 years, rising early to ring the bells at the Church of the Good Shepherd, reciting the prayers, living the rhythm of the daily office, and being baptized into the life of worship. The Angelus became part of my priestly formation. It worked its way into my spiritual life. I was moved, and still am, by its simplicity, beauty, and strange familiarity. Even atheists and agnostics have heard snippets of it. The words Hail Mary have worked their way into the common vernacular, leaving the world of prayer far behind. Now we know Hail Mary as a desperate football pass or a basketball shot taken in the last seconds of the game in hopes of snatching victory from defeat. But the monks of long ago, and the countless souls who have gone before us, and those who are with us now, know it for its consolation and prayer for intercession sought now and in the hour of our death. I still pray it regularly while driving or walking around town or sitting in my prayer space at home. And always I begin with these words from our story of faith. The angel of the Lord announced unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Ghost. I begin with this reminder of God's profound work in the incarnation. Through the coming of Christ, God turned the page of history and changed the course of humanity. Gabriel's encounter with Mary gives us the greatest possible news. God is coming to be with us, not merely in a spiritual sense, but in flesh and blood, as a bawling baby, a headstrong young man, a tireless teacher. The divine and the human meet in him and find their nesting place in Mary's womb. Is it any wonder that we have come to say, Hail Mary, full of grace? What has often perplexed, confounded, and perhaps even pleased us is that God chose Mary, a nondescript teenager from Nazareth. Now, there is nothing in Scripture to suggest that Gabriel had gone from house to house in Nazareth until he found someone alone and available. Nothing that says that he was going through village after village in Galilee. Scripture only tells us that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin whose name was Mary. Why her? I'm not being flippant when I say God only knows. By all objective accounts, she didn't have anything going for her. Luke doesn't mention any tribal heritage as he does with Elizabeth. Her family isn't involved in temple service, nor do they live near the center of Jewish life. They live in the far north, in a small, dusty village set amid steep, rugged hills. She is among the most powerless people in her society. She is young in a world that values age, female in a strict, patriarchal society where parents pray to have sons, not daughters. Yet what does Gabriel say? Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. And with her final exultant shout, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Mary becomes for us an example of one who has given herself over to God in faithful obedience and service. She is for us an avatar of trust, rejoicing in the Lord, her inspired yes, opening the way for God to turn the page. Mary steps out on faith, as they say, because Gabriel has a whole lot of commands and promises to share. 11 in all in our passage. You will conceive in your womb, he says. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The child will be holy, and you will name him Jesus. All of this is news to Mary, who is probably taking stock of herself for any hint of her now obviously favored status. And seeing none, she replies, "Well, how can this be, since I am a virgin?" More promises from Gabriel, more statements about what will happen. God is at work. God is turning the page. The infinite condescends to become finite, so to be seen by human eyes and touched by human hands. God's word spoken through the prophet Isaiah rings true. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Do you not, my child, feel it in your body? The virgin daughter of Nazareth has become the Theotokos, the God-bearer, whom all generations will call blessed. Improbable? Fanciful? Nothing is impossible with God, says Gabriel. Nothing is impossible. Incarnation? Resurrection? Vaccination against the coronavirus within a year of this deadly disease's first appearance. Some thought that that was impossible. But thanks be to God and the work of so many, vaccines from Pfizer, Moderna, and other companies are slowly making their way around the world. We can say God is turning the page on COVID-19, bringing something new that is yet to be fully realized. Brothers and sisters, our apocalyptic year is finally coming to an end. With all our faults, challenges, and blessings clearly displayed for everyone to see, for hundreds of thousands of families, the page has turned from life to death, leaving sorrow, joyful memories, and inspiring examples of what it means to live in this world with courage, conviction, and compassion. Remember Congressman John R. Lewis and his words to us? Though I may not be here with you, I urge you to answer the highest calling of your heart and stand up for what you truly believe. Walk with the wind, brothers and sisters, and let the spirit of peace and the power of everlasting love be your guide. God turns the page and invites us to write the next chapter in the life of our country. President-elect Joseph Biden has selected Congresswoman Deb Haaland, a Native American, to lead the Interior Department, which includes the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Imagine a Native American overseeing the Bureau of Indian Affairs for the first time in our country's history. Even in the world of politics, God is turning the page. This is a moment. This is a moment to dream big, says Pope Francis, to rethink our priorities, what we value, what we want, what we seek, and to commit to act in our daily life on what we have dreamed of. God asked us to dare to create something new. God dares us to do what was done through the incarnation, create something new. 2,000 years ago, God turned the page and stepped into the ever-flowing stream of human life. Why? Here are a few words from R.S. Thomas, an Anglican priest and Welsh poet. These words are from his poem that is entitled, The Coming. And God held in his hand a small globe. Look, he said. The sun looked. On a bare hill, a bare tree saddened the sky. Many people held out their thin arms to it, as though waiting for a vanished April to return to its crossed boughs. The sun watched them. Let me go there, he said. The coming. And so he came. In the fullness of time, he came, born of a woman child, born under the law, born to live and die for us, to redeem us and free us to follow him. The angel of the Lord announced unto Mary, says our ancient prayer. And today, as our Christmas celebration draws near, the question may be, what has been announced to you? What new thing has God conceived in you to bring forth for his glory and for the healing of our world? God turns the page. Amen.